We are extremely fortunate in having on our studios today Admiral Ellis M. Zacharias, United States Navy retired. Admiral Zacharias, who was in charge of psychological warfare against the Japanese during World War II, spoke in a meeting of the Executives Club held last night at the Parchman Community House. Welcome to Kalamazoo, Admiral Zacharias.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's a great pleasure to be here, and it gives me an opportunity to use my favorite Japanese expression, Hajimete omini kakaremashita, which translated literally means, for the first time, I have hung myself on your honorable eye.
And in English, that means you're glad to be here.
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you very much. It's certainly a pleasure to have you with us today. As many of our listeners know, Admiral Zacharias has had a wide and varied career during his 38 years of naval service, which began back in 1908. Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And you were how many years in the intelligence service?
Well, about 25 years of my service has been devoted directly or indirectly to intelligence work, so that's a rather long period. And matter of fact, I'm the one that has had the longest time in it.
Is that
right? As far
as
the Navy's concerned, yes.
Well, there's a lot of war talk these days, Admiral, and what do you think about the possibility of another war?
Well, Tony, I'm one of those people who feels that a war is neither imminent nor inevitable for many reasons. First of all, the United States is the only nation in the world today equipped to start and maintain a war. And that applies to Russia, too, because when we think of war, we think in terms of Russia. It's not generally realized that she was practically completely destroyed by the Germans in their invasion right up to the Ural Mountains, so that it'll be many, many years before she'll be in a position to start and maintain a war. And I don't believe anybody else is going to is so equipped. And fortunately, nobody around the world wants a war today.
And that includes the United States, of course. Well, let's turn to the Orient. If the communists win in China, as events indicate that they will, do you think Russia will control that country directly?
Well, Tony, I answer that question categorically in the negative, because there are many reasons why, but the first one, of course, is the inherent characteristics of the Chinese. They do not have any regard for anybody outside of their own country, and they certainly will not. There's no reasons why they should adopt Russian ideology. The Chinese do not go in for ideology, and that's one of the reasons. Well, of course, there are many others that the we know from experience that the Chinese use anybody outside of their own country for all they're worth and then finally throw them overboard. And the Russians, of course, had a very sad experience with the Chinese some years ago. So they are not counting on dominating China. We know that from many things. So I'm inclined to say that there will be no domination of China by the Russians.
Now, you were head of the Naval Intelligence and Psychological Warfare in World War II. Would you give us some examples of the effectiveness of psychological warfare?
Well, Tony, there were two very distinct successes. The first, a campaign against the German submarine personnel to lower their morale and their efficiency. And secondly, my own campaign against the Japanese High Command, which had for its objective the bringing about of unconditional surrender of the Japanese armed forces without the necessity of a forced invasion of the Japanese main islands. And as you know, our generals who have had a chance to inspect Japan since surrender know that because of those defenses set up in the hills, it would have cost us 250,000 or a million casualties if we'd had to invade Japan in force, and they're very glad we didn't have to make that invasion. So we know now that our broadcasts to the Japanese were effective in showing them how, why, and when to surrender. That is because the Naval High Command wanted to quit and the Army wanted to go on fighting to the end. So we worked it so that the Navy was able to get across its ideas.
And actually, there wasn't very much of the Japanese Navy left at the end of the war.
That's quite true. It was after the destruction of the Japanese fleet at the Second Battle of the Eastern Philippine Seas in October 1944 that I made an estimate of the situation and realized the Navy High Command could not. I knew that they felt they couldn't win the war, so they would be susceptible to approaches of peace.
Well, after your 38 years of naval service, you're retired now, I understand. What have you been doing, Admiral, since you're drawing all of those fogies?
Well, I must say I haven't had any leisure because my book was published just after I retired, and then the lecture bureaus got after me, so I'm completing right now my second nationwide lecture tour. And in addition, of course, you know, I have two radio programs, one a commentary on world affairs, the other a dramatization of my book, Secret Missions, which is heard on another network.
I see. Well, that's very interesting. And that can be heard over WGN, I believe.
That's right. Every Wednesday night at 9:30.
Every Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. We'll let our listeners go to another network just for a half an hour to hear a dramatization of your book. Well, thank you very much, Admiral Ellis M. Zacharias, United States Navy retired, for giving us a few minutes of your valuable time today.